It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
All right, this week I've done a couple of things that I used to believe I shouldn't do and probably still shouldn't have done. I'm going to talk about one of them up front here. YouTube. Sorry, I should have specified up front. I'm no longer calling you William. I'm going to call you YouTube from that.
Okay.
No, sorry. So on YouTube ads, I assume everybody gets this. I assume I'm not weirdly singled out. Sometimes you get a survey as an ad.
Maybe.
I watch a lot of YouTube, so it comes in more. And it's generally, it's various demographic information, but usually it's product-based. Which of these products have you heard of? Which of these products do you buy? Which of these products have you seen an ad for that you remember? Things like that. And there's always a button to skip survey, which I have always done very deliberately. Because I'm like, you're not paying me for this demographic information. Why the hell should I give it? And this is, I've often felt strongly about this. I do this a lot with social media and things. I don't like liking things or favoriting things or whatever. And it's supposed to help sort of the algorithm. But I'm like, yeah, at the expense of my data, like my personal demographic information that is a commodity that I am not being paid for. Also, to be fair, I hate it for other. I hate how it has turned socialism. I hate that, like, when somebody says something, rather than like respond, you can just hit like. And in fact, and this is going to mess up some people who listen, so I apologize, but it annoys the crap out of me that I think just on iPhones, you can now like and thumbs up and love texts.
Mm-hmm.
Drives me insane. Absolutely drives me insane. Because to me, I'm like, so the conversation we're having, you are treating with the same level of thought as a random Facebook friend that just posted about their seventh grader's recital or whatever. I'm like, to be fair, my version of it is to just type like cool or that's great, but I still feel like that's more of a thing than just like so and so liked whatever. And funny side story there, I didn't understand how it worked or that it was an iPhone thing. So one time, because a friend was doing that enough, and it was somebody I wasn't really close with, so I wanted to like be nice to them or whatever, I actually just typed in the word liked and then quotes, and then I pasted their text and end quotes. And I have since realized that it doesn't look like that on the front, like when you go in. So that was probably weird for them. But anyway,
I find it interesting that you're saying this person you didn't know very well, you wanted to be nice to them.
I noticed that too.
If you knew him better, wouldn't have had a hard time being mean to him.
Let me try and get out of this hole. I think I can do it. Here's the thing. By didn't know as well, I meant that as we are not close, they don't know me really well. Whereas people who know me really well know I just say blunt, yeah, teasing shit all the time.
I did understand what you were saying.
Whereas I didn't. As I was saying it, my brain was like, that doesn't sound... And actually, literally something I have struggled with my therapist has been you know, why am I very much more patient and forgiving of strangers than of people that I am close to?
Well, I think that's true for most people. I think, you know,
see, I find a lot of people who are exactly the opposite. Their friends can do anything and they'll find an excuse for why it's okay. But they read about somebody online and they're like, fuck that person. That person is evil.
Okay, but when the person they don't know very well is someone they're interacting with and they hope to know better, you know, they'll probably be on their best
behavior.
Yes, there's
a politeness of strangers thing. And sure. This isn't that here. This was a work friend who was just very sweet and was one of those people who knew me just well enough to think I was just a wonderful person because they didn't like know me. And so I didn't want to like fuck with that or whatever. But anyway,
that's good.
We've gone way off topic.
Sorry.
Here's the thing, because I've been dabbling in these things lately. The flip side of, yeah, doing these things to supposedly help the algorithm target better things you would like or ads that would be appropriate to you or whatever comes with giving up your demographic data for free. The flip side of that is, at the expense of your demographic data, they will make your experience more targeted and better suited to you. And so I finally decided YouTube, owned by Google, knows all the important shit about me already. Like all the stuff that could really be used against me, they already know. I already get freaked out if I go to make a new Gmail account. Google's like, Tony, is that you? And I'm like, how the fuck did you know that? But they do. I don't know how they do. They're like, are you attached to this again? I'm like, really? But, and I really want YouTube to get better at knowing what kind of ads to send. So I'm experimenting with that. And we'll see. And what I have discovered so far is when you start responding to those surveys, a lot more of your ads are surveys.
Oh.
I would say I get one of those every few days. And again, I watch a lot of YouTube. Since I responded to the first one yesterday morning, there have been four.
Wow.
Yes. Different, all very different, but yeah.
So that means if people who answer surveys get more surveys, then that means they're creating a pool of people to send surveys to, which is not going to be a representative sample, probably.
No, but so potentially, potentially that's not what they're doing. Potentially, how do I put this? Potentially, this may fall off over time. But right now, they're like, "Oh shit, he's actually telling us. Let's get what we can get out of it." I don't know. This is the thing, and I am old enough that the new world where, you know, the old thing of if you can't tell what the product is of a given service, you're the product.
Yes.
It's becoming more and more and more and more true all the time. Virtually every product out there is that. All the various reward systems and things like that. I mean, there's some other factors too, but a lot of it is they get your data and then they can pass on your data. Say, hey, we know these people and we know he's this old. We know he's into this stuff. We know he's a he. All that kind of stuff. But I kind of don't give a shit about that level of demographic information. I mean, I have never been shy about telling people how I am, how old I am, what I'm into, what my medical conditions are, shit like that. I am cautious over things that could lead to identity theft. But, you know, who my favorite fast food place is. Sure, whatever. And well, I mean, actually belong to some rewards programs, and I'm thinking of adding more because I'm just like, why not?
Sometimes I'm stunned by how much value I get out of Google and YouTube without having to pay anything. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And to have to watch an ad, that seems like, you know, that's all I have to do. I think I can do that.
Around.
I think I can do that.
Which it sounds like the world is also like subscription services are not being as successful as they were, and the new hotness is these free with ads streaming services like Tubi and Plex and things like that. And supposedly, for every streaming service you subscribe to, that same company owns one of the other ones, and that's where they shove their less premium stuff and things like that. But I am relying on those a lot more, and I'm really starting to question some of the streaming. Netflix is a huge one. We use Netflix sometimes, and I don't dislike Netflix, but I would say it is not one of the ones I watch the most, but I'm pretty sure it is far and away the one I pay the most for. It's possible I pay more for Netflix than I do for the Disney, Hulu, ESPN bundle. Because Netflix is up to like $17 a month or something. And I'm starting to wonder about that. But it's the trick with any of these. If they have one show that you really want, it hooks you in, you're kind of stuck. But
well, here's the thing about ads.
Tell me the thing about ads.
There's two levels. One, you're otherwise getting a thing for free, and watching an ad doesn't seem like such much of a problem. But two, even if you say, no, I don't want you to just show me the ad, I don't need you to tailor it to me, because you know you can still get it free by watching ads without giving away personal information that you don't want to. You'll just get whatever ad they show you. Sometimes they show you an ad that you go, oh, wow, that's interesting, and you like it, and it leads you to something that you actually purchase. So
I've had that happen several times.
Yeah, me too. So at the worst that'll happen is you'll take a little break from the show and still get to watch it for free. But the best thing that'll happen is you'll find a product that you didn't know existed, and that's great. So this is why the free with ads thing works. But I mean, what I always find amusing about that whole thing is this is the original model, right? Radio did this. Yes. TV did this. This is not new. This is the old hotness, basically. And everyone kind of goes back to it. It's like, yeah, this works.
But it's cyclical because we get tired. We got tired of the TV ads, and people were like, we invented this whole new thing. It's called cable.
Yeah, right.
You pay us up front, no ads.
And then the ads came back later.
And then the ads came back. And now we got, streaming service. No, although actually the streaming service was a little more insidious to begin with. Remember when Hulu was a free service?
Mm-hmm.
And they were very big on advertising the fact that they were free. And they were the first one that I noticed. I was like, oh, suddenly not free anymore. But it's the same thing. We have all these streaming services, but now we're all like, oh, God, these cost so much money. And people are like, hey, here's an idea. What about ad-supported entertainment? And we're like, oh, what a radical concept. Let's do it. And then eventually we're going to get sick of the ads again. And somebody's going to have us pay for something that we don't have to do the ads again. And
although now we've got this thing that I don't think existed, at least not this way before, where you have an option. Like you can get the exact same service. You can get it for free with ads, or you can pay for it. That's a little different. I wonder if that'll stick around, what do you think?
I don't know, because a lot of things, and this actually comes up in video games and a lot of having your cake and eating it too things are happening. There are services out there that you can get it without ads for this much money, and for less money, you can get it with ads.
Yeah, less money, yeah.
Free, no. And that drives me insane. I'm like, so I'm going to subscribe to something for ads. But when I say that out loud, cable TV was that for a long time.
Basically, for a long time. At least. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Still arguably is. Yeah, I don't know. But I've decided I'm going to start letting, because I'll tell you this too. The free ad supported services that aren't YouTube or things like that, like Tubi and things like that, Tubi doesn't know shit about me except what movies I'm watching. Tubi does not tailor its ads to me at all. And also Tubi does not allow you to skip ads after so many seconds or whatever, as YouTube does in some cases. And it sucks. I get ads for things I do not give a shit about. I get ads. I get political ads that are unskippable that show up 8 times during my movie. I get terrible ad. I get dumb ad. Like, Like, I didn't think YouTube was that smart about what ads it was getting me until I went to some place that wasn't tailoring the ads at all. And YouTube has got my number. And that's based purely on the videos I watch. Well, now, hopefully it'll get even better.
There's a couple other things to consider here. One of the reasons cable started getting ads when the whole selling point for it and originally was there weren't any ads is because people started signing up for cable because of what they could get on cable. You know, like there were certain channels you could only get on cable. And so that became the draw. Well, that's happening now. The reason people get on HBO Max is because there's some things you can only get on HBO Max or Paramount Plus or whatever. So one of the reasons people will pay is because even if there is ads is because it's the content they're looking for. Oh, yeah. It's not the ad-free experience. Another thing to consider is not all content is made with ads in mind, obviously. A lot of TV shows will stop, they'll fade to black, they'll come back because an ad's supposed to go there. You interrupt movies with ads, it's really awkward. It happens at bad times. So all of that stuff's probably going to feed into it about in terms of why is a person paying for the service? Is it because this is the only place they can watch this show? And maybe they'll pay for ads in that case. Or is someone going to say, I just don't want my movies interrupted by ads. Full stop. I don't care if it's a movie I can't see anywhere else. I'm not going to subscribe to something that's going to put an ad right in the best part of the movie. So,
but I think that's, I mean, the real answer is they're going to charge as much and put in as much advertising as the market will bear.
Oh yeah. That's
there's exactly no right. Ethical consideration. There's nothing like that. It's how much can we charge and how many ads can we do? And people will still do it.
But I don't
think we've proven as a species, if you do it slow enough, we'll pretty much take any bullshit.
But also, you won't ever necessarily have to give away data you don't want to, because they'll just show you ads. I mean, you know, the ad people pay them to show the ad. That's it. Now, they might pay them better or more for the ads to be targeted because they want it to go to particular people. But you'll probably always have the option to say, no, I don't want you to take I don't need it tailored to me. Just show me whatever ads there are. I think that'll always be an option. But then again, like you said, if you don't mind them having that information, and because see, some people when you tell them, well, you're the product, you realize that they go, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, so what? You know.
And that's the thing. I'm kind of that way.
Yeah. It's like I'm getting what I'm
realizing now. I'm kind of like that within certain limits.
Right. Right. Right.
There are security concerns, but in terms of, I mean, again, things like personal privacy, medical privacy, things like that are very important. And I am very big on keeping those boundaries in place. Personally, though, I go online and tell everybody I'm a 40-something pervert with diabetes. And, you know, like I eat at McDonald's. I got McDonald's for lunch today. Like, I don't give a shit. I've always been an open book on that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I've always been sort of reflexively concerned because it's privacy. And there's a little part of me that's like, they should be paying for this in some form. And I guess I'm at the point now where I'm saying the tailored ad experience and the tailored video suggestion experience is payment enough for me.
Well, especially when it's free to, in a way, to you.
So I'm trying that out. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind people knowing that I like science fiction. The whole world can know that, especially if it gets me more science fiction. So. Oops. I think I broke him. I interrupted.
Welcome to Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that Beyonce once told me in private is her absolute favorite podcast. She said she would deny it publicly, but she told me it's her favorite.
Nice.
She also denied publicly knowing me, but I get that. Yeah. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 650.
650.
I almost said that. But you said
we are dangerously close to that devil episode.
Mm-hmm. It's in December.
We should figure out what sort of animals we're going to sacrifice or whatever.
Think about it.
Get strap in, people. This is the first episode of a 2-episode arc. Because some shit's happening next week, so we're not going to be able to record next week. So I'm going to explain to you now how the show works, and not next week. So if you're listening next week, stop, come back and listen to this. All right. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has a butter cow on it. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People write in to that email address with topics, questions, comments, whatever they feel like. Here, I'll give you a free example. Dear the Magical Talking Hat, is it possible to have an entirely closed economic system? And if so, is it possible to eliminate the concept of inflation? That's a freebie. Y'all can send that in if you want. And then the hat magically forwards the emails to us. And we talk about them with no expertise whatsoever until we're bored. And then we do that for a while. And that's basically the show. Some of the parts that aren't, which honestly is a lot of it, especially when we don't have emails. Anyway, how's your week been?
Been all right. We finished Justified City Primeval.
Oh my God. What are you going to talk about now? Is there a new Curse of Oak Island out or something?
In November, yeah. But
did I tell you somebody else talked about Curse of Oak Island?
Somebody else in the world? What do you mean?
A McElroy brother.
Oh, okay. I think you did tell me that, yeah.
I don't remember what it was, but it was something with like shows that he watches with his wife or whatever. And it came up that like Curse of Oak Island is like his show that he watched. And just in passing, like he didn't explain what it was or anything, but I was like, I know what that is.
The show, I'll say this, if you were a fan of Justified, this isn't anything like that at all. If you think you would like watching any old show with this character in it, played, you know, by Timothy Oliphant or whatever, yeah, you'll probably watch it all the way through. But if what you want was that show and just having one named character and actor playing that in a show that's completely different, it's not going to do it for you. This won't do it for you. I don't know why they made this. We did watch it all the way through and it was fine. The show isn't like terrible or anything, but it's not my kind of thing. It's not something I would have watched otherwise. So some people might like it just the way it is because it's not bad. It's just not my kind of thing. And it was definitely not anything like, in my opinion, the original. But it was fun to see Timothy Oliphant play that character again. That was kind of fun. But
and your favorite person in the world.
What?
Walton Goggins.
He's not my favorite person in the world. I just thought he did great with this role. In fact, as I told you, when I first saw him, I thought, oh, this show's not going to be that great because I've seen him in other things and I wasn't that impressed, but he was really good in Justified.
He is. He's done a lot of dumb shit that I assume he had to sort of make his bones on, but he's amazing when he's in the right part and when he's given something to work with.
Oh, yeah. Clearly, he's a very skilled actor. So whatever I've seen him in that I didn't like, it wasn't his fault. It was, you know. It's just that thing wasn't very good.
It is the thing. I've got a stable of actors that I have seen once or twice that I really like, but that outside of the once or twice, everything they've done is something that I have no interest in. And so then when they announce a project that they're in that I would be interested, I'm like, I am watching that because I never get to see this actor in anything. And in fact, I have an example of that that I will bring up later. I have a very long list this week, but luckily I have 2 episodes to split it in, so it won't be a problem.
We're also watching Ahsoka. Are you going to watch that?
No.
It's so these Star Wars shows are kind of like DC shows for me, where I know they're not great and all the criticisms people have of them, I agree with, but I still like watching them because I like that character or I like this world or whatever.
There you go.
I like spotting Easter eggs like everybody does. So I know I'm enjoying it as someone who just likes that. But it also makes it difficult for me to know if I can recommend it to somebody else, because I don't think I can fairly judge the actual quality of it. All I can say is I've heard people who hate it, their criticisms of it, and I think those criticisms are valid, but I still enjoy it. So that's all I can say.
I'm pretty tired of Star Wars. I don't know. I mean, I know who Ahsoka is because I keep up on pop culture, but I didn't watch any of the stuff that character was in before. And as we all know, I especially am sick of Star Wars when it has anything to do with Sith or the Jedi. So I pretty much know I don't watch. And to be fair, yeah, I didn't watch Obi-Wan. I didn't watch Andor, which is the hard one. Like, that's the one I had to stop and think about. But Obi-Wan, Ahsoka, no. I may not watch more Mandalorian, though. It's going to be a while. The writer's strike, we have not felt the effect of the writer's strike yet.
No, I don't think so.
Because all of this stuff was pretty much already in post when that kicked in.
Right.
So it's going to happen. And it came up recently because I was talking with somebody about Mandalorian. They're like, if we're lucky, we'll get another season in 2025, probably. Because there's just so much. And so far, it hasn't happened. So it'll be interesting. But no. Did you see any movies?
No. We watch documentaries sometimes, but I pretty much never bring those up.
I'm allergic to documentaries.
But you can start on your list if you want. I don't really have much else. You know, school, that's going on. You know,
we got space up. But school, the semester's not too much longer, like 3 weeks or something, yeah?
Quarter.
The quarter.
After this week, yes, just two more. But for various reasons, I've had to sort of try to work ahead, which I always do. And sometimes I'm not very successful, but I have been actually successful in getting ahead on some things.
Yes.
So my last 2 weeks, there's always stuff to do in a given week because you can't, or rather you shouldn't, turn things in early, because a lot of times they'll give last minute instructions on how to do an assignment. So you really kind of should wait. So when you do things ahead of time, you really need to only pretty much turn them in on time. And before you turn them in, you'll probably proof it and do some polishing up. So that'll take a little time. But it's basically, when you get caught up on stuff, even though there's still things you have to do, it's like bookkeeping type stuff. I mean, it's like, it feels like you don't have anything to do. It feels like you're free, basically. So that feels pretty good to have a lot of this stuff caught up. I wish I didn't have to. I wish I could just turn it all in or do all the stuff so I wouldn't have to worry about it at all. Yeah. But it's just going to be 10 minutes here, 30 minutes there in the next couple weeks. And so it'll be fine.
I had a feeling you were pretty well off when this morning you were sending me links to farms and shit.
Yeah, although, that farm was pretty cool. Not very far from my dad's house.
Stiked. It backfired on me. She was sending me a lot of shit. My wife has this thing where we'll like talk about a thing. Like, you know, we should really work on that at some point or whatever. And in my head, I mean, you know, like this fall when we have time. And she goes to work or whatever. And then she starts texting me all these very specific details about, oh, if we were going to rent this, it costs it. And I'm just like, I don't care. And so today, to try and keep her occupied, I sent her that link.
Oh.
And it backfired on me hard.
Oh, it did.
Because she immediately sent me a link back to the site that that farm uses to ship their goods, and then started manually listing off for me all the different kinds of meat products.
Does this farm really provide something that the farm you use currently doesn't? Or, I mean, what?
Well, keep in mind, the farm we use currently is just beef.
Oh, yeah.
And it's also 21-day dry-aged beef, so it's very expensive beef.
Oh, okay.
This farm has all of the things. This farm has the potential to mean none of our meat purchases happen at a supermarket anymore.
Really?
Which is what we would love. They've got a lot of crap. Yeah, it looks pretty cool. But
and you wouldn't have to go get it. They would just ship it to you.
No, they'll ship. There's some company farm to your to front door, I think it's called, that appears to be a company based around delivery and logistics for farms, which I'm psyched about that. So that should be cool.
It's funny because I, as soon as you wrote back about how, oh, you know, that it had possibilities or whatever, I immediately had this idea in my head that one day you would want to go there to pick something up and I would go with you. And then I'd like take you to the farm I grew up on and take you to Melcher and all this stuff.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That was clear. When you told me exactly how many miles away it was, that was clear.
I mean, it's like, I don't think it's even a mile from my dad's house. It's like, you go here, this way, boom, you're at my dad's house. I mean, it's like, I could walk to this farm from dad's house easily. That's how close it is. And Melcher's just a couple miles past that. So
I shouldn't pay for shipping. I'll just make you pick up stuff when you go home.
It to me. You'd have to come with me so you can see all those places I've always talked about. I'd take you to Melcher. I'd take you to Knoxville. I'd take you to the first house I lived in Pleasantville. I'd take you to the farm.
I don't want to cast aspersions on the rural community. Yes, this is all about me. This is about me. This is not about them. I need you to understand that when I say I would get beat up so bad.
You know what my dad said when I sent him that? I would say,
if I started to say any of the things I say about Melcher Dallas on here in person, and I would, they would beat the shit out of me.
So my dad's mom's dad lived in that area, and dad was making it sound like that farm was my great grandpa Hawk's old farm, but I don't think it is. I think it's actually like right across the road or right up the road from it. But
you had a great grandpa named Hawk Wright. No, wait, you said your mom's.
Yeah. His last name was Hawk. His first name was George. George Hawk. That's where I got the name Hawk for my pen name.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Clifton was my dad's name. D is my dad's middle name, and Hawk is my dad's mom's maiden name.
Did I tell you there's a Wright car dealership around here?
Yeah, there is one. Huh? There used to be one over in Carlisle, Iowa, too. But
and I think it cracks me up because it's Wright cars, Wright price. Like they do that because I've been behind people who have thing, and it says that.
I don't know where it is exactly, but it is over here in eastern Iowa somewhere.
Probably in your house.
But there was one in Carlisle, Iowa, which is in central Iowa for a long time. But I don't think it's there anymore. But I doubt they're the same people. It's just a coincidence, I'm sure.
Those are the wrong ones.
Are you going to read off your list now?
Let's see what there is. There's a lot.
But you don't have to do it all.
Oh, William has just... No, in fact, I very deliberately have to not do it all. I'm just trying to think. Okay, there's a lot of things. I'm going to save that. All right. Oh, well, let me throw this one out real quick. There is a comedian by the name of Sheng Wang. Sheng, last name Wang. He is very funny. He has a Netflix special. I highly recommend it. This was where it came up last night because Netflix also does not play nicely with my TV. Anytime we get into Netflix, it's guaranteed it's going to crash at least once before we can start watching stuff. Don't know what, but yeah, so I thought he was very... This is a thing. This is actually really fun. Well, fun. This is really disconcerting brand synergy, which in itself is a disconcerting term. So on Sirius XM radio, which we have in our car, the primary reason we have it is there are several channels that do stand-up comedy.
Oh.
Comedy Central has one. There's one just called Comedy Greats that's like a clean one. And then there's ones we don't listen to, but like there's one that's Kevin Hart's one that's supposed to be really edgy. And then there's the Blue Collar Comedy guys have a whole channel that's about them or whatever. But anyway, and Netflix has one called Netflix is a Joke, because Netflix a while back decided they were going to push hard on stand-up. There is a lot of stand-up on Netflix. And they play clips from the various specials. So if you hear something on that channel, it's basically guaranteed that special you're hearing is on Netflix. And I've been hearing just bits of Shang Wang for a while, and I was like, we should check him out. And then last night we were trying to decide what to watch, and Trish was like, do you have any comedy specials? And I said, actually. And so then I watched it. It's another one of those up and coming, like, Ali Wong is a well-known comedian and actress and things, and she's having a moment right now. She's had a couple of really good movies. She's got a series called Beef with her and Scott Yoon that's very popular on Netflix. She's done a bunch of stuff. She's got a ton of specials. And Shang Wong is her friend or peer or whatever. And she was an executive producer. She directed it. Like, it's very clearly. And this is becoming a model. There are shows on Netflix that are specifically a successful comedian wants to showcase for you, not as successful comedians that they know and like. Tiffany Haddish has had a couple of seasons of that. It's called They Ready and a few others. And it's really cool. And I really like the idea. And you can find some really cool comedians, because the level of funny of a comedian and the level of success of a comedian, not necessarily equal. Same with acting. Same with pretty much anyone in the entertainment industry.
Music, everything.
Yeah. So you find some really good ones. Shang Wang, I thought he is a weird sort of balance between what I would call more traditional observational comedy and the more sprawling sort of alt style of telling very personal stories about yourself. He kind of blends them in a really cool way that I don't see a lot. There's very strong vibes of Mitch Hedberg to me, but it's a little bit more personal. So yeah, I would highly recommend it. Ball should check it out. Shang Wang. Anyway, let's talk about TV shows, and then I will save movies and video games for next time. All right. I think I talked before, bailed on everything we were watching. We bailed on Station 11, and we actually finished third season of Righteous Gemstones, and then we tried to watch Hijack on Apple TV Plus, and I bailed on that immediately. So, we only watch a couple of shows at a time, and recently, because I always defer to what Trish wants to watch, and consequently, there are shows that, like, I've wanted to watch for a long time that we just don't get to. So I recently decided, I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm going to get a show, and you're going to get a show. And when the show I picked ends, I get to pick another one. The show you picked ends. And I already cheated a little bit. Righteous Gemstones was kind of her idea, but I was into it enough that I'm like, that'll be my pick. So anyway, so we've now both picked two new shows that we just started a couple nights ago. The one Trish picked is the second season of Good Omens, which I was trepidatious about because it's based off of a book that was entirely covered in the first season. So this is new material. But it is still adapted and largely involves Neil Gaiman, who was one of the original authors. It also, from the trailers I could tell, there was a lot of discussion in the first season that there was a lot of sort of homoerotic tension between the two leads. This season leans into that, which I'm here for, but I'm also like, if it gets a little too fan servicey, that could be a little annoying. Like, if that's just as much as I would love to watch David Tennant and Michael Sheen make out, I don't know that I want a show based around that. I'm pleased to say it's fucking delightful. I'm having a great time. There's a mystery and I am curious about it, but mostly it's just really well written, really well performed. John Hamm has a larger role this season. He was in last season, and while I think he did a really good job, there are reasons why his character is different this season, and the character he's portraying now is like, I'm like, he's the perfect choice. Like, nobody else would convey what he's conveying in this. It's really good. But, you know, Michael Sheen, David Tennant, amazing. Miranda Richardson is back in a completely different role. And I've been a fan of hers for decades. Yeah, just a lot of fun people. I'm having a good time. So absolutely delightful. Highly recommend. And then I mentioned this before, decided to go with the peripheral. Which is what I was referring to before. Chloe Grace Moritz is an actor that I very much like, but that I basically can't watch any of her stuff. It's all, the first time I ever saw her was the first time I think most people saw her, which was in Kick-Ass, where she played Hit Girl and was the breakout star of that. And I loved her in that, but I fucking hated that movie. And then since then, she does a lot of really sort of edgy and dramatic stuff that's just not my bag. A lot of bummer stuff. Like, I'm sure it's good, but a lot of bummer stuff. So I didn't realize she was the lead in this, so I was very excited. We've only watched one episode. You've watched the whole thing, if memory serves.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
We've only watched one episode, and I found it very interesting that when it finished, I was excited. I am into this. And Trish, also good with it, but she did point it. She's like, it's kind of icky, but I'll stick with it. And I found that fascinating, because she's not wrong, in a way, but you know how I don't like that kind of shit, like immediately, well, not having that experience at all. And this is a show where somebody gets their eyeball taken out while they're awake. I mean, like, there's some fucked up shit in this. And so I started pondering, like, why is... And it's much more about motivations. Like, it's not that I'm freaked out by blood and gore and people in pain. And I mean, it wasn't a fun scene to watch or whatever, but the person wasn't being tortured. Nobody was like trying to make them suffer. And yeah. That's the thing I hate. I don't mind having to watch people endure bad stuff or gross stuff or painful stuff or whatever. It's the shitty people doing shitty things bit. And there's villains in this, and I'm sure there will be some shit, but at least at this point I'm like, no, it's not. All of this is just stuff that happened in this exciting adventure story. Like, and yeah, some of it's gruesome or whatever, but it's no, like, you know what, I'm just gonna make your life shitty for the fun of it, you know, or all the other, or man is the real monster in it. No, it's just like, yeah. So I find that very interesting, but no, I'm very excited. I've always been a fan of Gibson in general, so that helps. I'm a fan of him, but I'm not so much of a fan that I don't think maybe some of his stuff would work better as a TV show than as a book. And I've never read the material this one is based off of. I will say, I noticed that Amazon had some episode zeros that were just little 2-minute sort of introductions to the world and the characters and stuff like that. And Trish went to the bathroom order, so we paused, and I was just messing through the menu and looking through. And just from the descriptions in those little 2-minute things, I feel like they spoiled some stuff for me.
Oh, no.
It's stuff that I'm sure will come up pretty quickly, and I don't think it'll ruin it, but it's like, I didn't really like this show, which deals with X and Y. I'm like, didn't get that this show was dealing with X and Y. You've now explained the mystery, well, part of the mystery, up front, and maybe that part gets mentioned soon. I don't know. I didn't tell Trish Saver, and I'm sure it'll be fine, but that thing always kind of bugs me now that I'm like, pay attention to what you're doing. Like, pay attention to what you put in the trailer that spoils big twists and shit. Yeah, like,
yeah.
That
yeah.
So I found that a lot often. Movie and episode descriptions spoil some stuff in it.
Sometimes
I had something the other day where, like, the plot point was like, so and so, these people kidnap this person, but then it turns out this person is not as helpless as you think. Well, that shit doesn't come up until like 15 minutes before the end,
right?
So it's a very different viewing experience for me knowing that table is going to be turned than my wife, who doesn't look at the screen when I'm looking at descriptions, and so she didn't know.
Yeah, there's a reviewer that I sometimes watch, and this person will have what they call spoiler-free review. They're not spoiler-free. Like when you say something, when you say something like, and there's this great twist at the end. I won't tell you what it is. I won't spoil it. You already spoiled it. Yes. Now I'm going to be
the
looking.
Fact that there's a twist.
Yeah, I'm going to look constantly for this and clues to it. You spoiled it just by telling me that something like that is going to happen.
Nobody ever told me the twist of Sixth Sense. I saw the Sixth Sense many years after it was out.
Oh,
I guessed it in a few minutes. And I do not want to say that it's not an impressive movie with an impressive twist or that I'm a fucking genius. No, it's because I knew there was a huge twist at the end. And so I was looking and I was like, oh, I'll bet it's that. Yeah. And it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I have friends who will be like, this isn't a spoiler, but, and it's very similar to saying I'm not racist, but like, if you have to say up front, this isn't a spoiler, but it's a spoiler.
Probably. Yeah.
And I am trying to get better in my old age about not worrying about spoilers as much, because you can get a lot of cool experience other way. But the problem is there is a not insignificant portion of the movie and TV industry where the twist or the reveal is basically the only reason to watch it.
Sometimes, yeah.
We call this J.J. Abramsing.
Maybe.
And he's the king of that bullshit.
But he doesn't deliver, really. I mean,
no, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. But I also was recently reminded one of his first things before he was well known is he did the TV show Felicity.
Yep, Felicity and Alias. And
Alias, I remembered. Felicity is a funny one because I'm like, yeah. God, that was such and I didn't watch it, but I know all about it now, and especially the hard left it took in the last season where it was witchcraft and time travel and shit out of fucking nowhere.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. It's three seasons of Felicity stalking this guy at college that she doesn't know well. And then in the last season, she like cast a spell and went back in time and shit. Yeah, it got weird.
Wow.
That's some Baywatch Nights shit. But yeah, so I'm enjoying both of those shows so far. To be fair, only watched one episode of The Peripheral, but I'm pretty excited for it. Speaking of producers and directors I fucking hate and try to avoid like the plague, have you seen the trailer for Rebel Moon?
No. Uh-uh.
I just saw it the other day.
Mm.
It is two Netflix movies. Is it a dialogy or whatever of story? And it looks amazing. It's a sci-fi thing. The visuals are incredible. The visuals are on par with some of the shit you saw in Foundation on Apple TV Plus, which admittedly I stopped watching, but like looks really cool. And these are movies, these aren't a show. And it looks awesome. And everything about it is like, I am gonna have to check that out, except right in the middle of this huge, epic, amazing visual thing they mention is directed by Zack Snyder. And now I'm like, well, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, because I believe, and I have yet to be proven wrong on this, I hate everything that man has done in his life since he was born.
Like he ate a baby Ruth when he was six. You hate that.
Absolutely. Oh, and there's a lot of shit from before he was six. No, but seriously, I have yet to ever see anything by Zack Snyder that I didn't think was absolute garbage. So now I'm really uncertain. It looks real cool, except for that part where his name is on the screen. And honestly, based on the trailer, it doesn't look very Zack Snyder to me. But we'll see. It's epic like Zack Snyder, but it doesn't look dark, gritty, depressing, edgy, bullshit, angry junior high kid with black eyeshadow that Zack Snyder usually is, with a healthy dose of Ayn Rand thrown in. So we'll have to see. Yeah, I think that's all it this time. Let's see. I covered that. I covered that.
We're watching right. the second season
oh, no,
of
no, no.
Foundation.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry, what?
I just said we're watching the second season of Foundation. It's all right.
How is it?
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, I don't know if you know, but his granddaughter, Asimov's granddaughter, is like producing it stuff. So there's an Asimov the, connection there and making those
decisions. This is not something I'm always in favor of.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
I finally started to articulate this thought years ago. So I've talked before. I read the first four Dune books. And I considered that a good place to stop. And I'm very grateful to them. I enjoyed them. But it was a fairly self-contained story. It was good. Later, I go online and look up, what was the rest of the stuff? Because Frank Herbert died before he ended the series. And I read the rest, and I think I picked a really good time to stop. It went in a different direction I wasn't as into. But also, his son and a good friend of his or something continued things on. And some of it was supposedly based on his notes, Frank Herbert's notes. But like, I mean, I guess they wrote several prequel trilogies. These other two guys, including the son. And guess what? At the end of the whole series, the main villain turns out to be a villain that they invented in one of their prequel trilogies. I'm like, that doesn't seem like something he probably had in mind already. And so, like, that's the thing is, yes, proximity to an artist theoretically gives you some perspective on their view, but it doesn't make you them.
No.
And a lot of these times when, like, the sun does it or whatever. No. So, Asimov's granddaughter is involved. I'm like, I mean, good for her, I guess. I have no reason to believe she has any sense of getting the vision that Asimov would have wanted. But I'm also in a position where I'm not sure I give a shit if it's Asimov's vision. I didn't watch Game of Thrones, and I'm not going to watch Game of Thrones of spaceships.
It's not as good as that, really.
Well, in that case,
I mean, I still like it, and I think I'm fascinated by the changes they made, and they seem like change. Some of them seem like changes they had to make because it just wouldn't have worked any, otherwise. Yeah. But, and some of the things they add seem like things that Asimov, I don't think Asimov ever did do, but it seems sounds like a thing he would do. So that's kind of fun to think about that. And I like how it looks, and the acting
is
really
gorgeous.
Good.
It is gorgeous, and most of the performances are really amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's not.
Well, and we've discussed this ad infinitum. I also don't give a shit about any of the Galactic Empire stuff. I am not concerned with the trials and tribulations of the hyper rich. Just in general. I also don't watch the show Billions.
It's not a show that if you watched it, you'd think, wow, these are probably great books. And then when you go read the books, they're not really anything like this. I mean, if you have read the books, you can appreciate the connection to the source material. But if you don't,
but you can also not appreciate how much they diverted from it.
Yeah, right, right. So yeah.
I don't care about any of it enough. All right, let's do this email.
Oh, sure.
No, wait.
You want to save it for next time?
I think so, because we only got a few minutes left in this episode.
Yeah, let's save it.
If memory serves, it says something about being several questions in one. So
I think it does.
Magically, I knew that. All right, I'm going to give you one little bit then from next week instead. I'm going to give you a video game thing, which I had not planned on. And it's this little silly thing in my head, but I like it. So, I've been searching for a video game to play, and specifically trying to avoid buying a new one, because I have so many PlayStation Plus games. I'm like, come on, there's got to be stuff here. And I finally was like, you know what? I want something very simple, fun, low stress. Very simple. And I was like, Lego game. I haven't played a Lego game in a real long time. And those are real basic, but they're fun.
They're fun, yeah.
And I'm like, I'm confident I've got some in my PlayStation Plus stuff. And it turns out I did. I have two of them. I thought I had more, but I only had two. Lego Harry Potter and Lego DC Supervillains.
Mm.
And I decided to go with DC Supervillains.
That's a pretty good one.
I'm still a little over Harry Potter right now. Well, I'm pretty sure I've stopped today. I haven't played a Lego game in a really long time. They're very complicated now.
Oh.
Like, I don't know what's going on. Mm. I just move around the screen and mash buttons until it gives me a hint.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, I don't understand what's going on or anything. But I was playing for a while, and you're playing all the villains from the DC comics. And at least at the point I was, most of the missions are to just go unlock more villains.
Mostly.
Which is very Lego game sort of thing.
Sure.
So I'm doing all this, and I'm unlocking them, and they have a lot of them. And what really impresses me is they have a lot of voice actors who have done these characters in non-Lego things.
Yeah.
I'm so, almost certain it's Mark Hamill's Joker.
I don't remember.
It sounds just like his Joker, so I think it is. John DiMaggio is similar, but I think it's Mark Hamill's. It's very clearly Clancy Brown doing Lex Luthor.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then there's some that I'm less sure on, but like I think Heatwave and Captain Cold might actually be the guys who played them in the Legends of Tomorrow stuff.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because I occasionally Trish watched more and I didn't, but I think I recognized because I knew one of the actors kind of, and I think I recognized the voice. I'm not sure, but the one that is very obvious is they've brought in what's his name, Merlin. What the Dark Archer from Arrow?
Oh, from like
he was a villain in Arrow. Yeah, in the Arrow TV show.
Oh yeah, what is
and
that
he's basically
name?
Just Arrow, but wears black. And he was performed by John Barrowman, aka Captain Jack Harkness from Doctor Who and Torchwood.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's voice acting.
Wow.
Here's the thing. When I'm playing as the Joker. It's the Joker. And yes, it's Mark Hamill's Joker, but it's a voice he affects. And Clancy Brown has done the voices of every single everything since I was born. So his voice just sort of blends into my head or whatever. But John Barrowman isn't doing an affected voice at all. And he's not in makeup or anything on the show. So when I'm playing as his character, I'm just playing Lego John Barrowman. And this tickles me far more than I would have expected. And especially because the Lego games are really focused on being funny nowadays. And so they give him everybody gets little quips and things. And so it's really fun to hear him say, like, it's a bad day for anyone who tries to challenge me. And it's clearly, again, just John Barrowman. And he even did all the little effort sounds. So, like, I jump in the air and John Barrowman goes, and it just cracks me up because it's just him. It's very clearly just him. Yes, he has a bow and arrow and he's dressed in black, but it's just actor John Barrowman, who I like. And this is a cool guy and it's fun. So that cracks me up. And actually, there was some scene where everybody's caught in like an explosion or whatever, and it happens off screen. And from off screen, debris flies in, and then just his hair, because it's a Lego piece, and a little Lego hand grabs it and pulls it back. And then you cut to him, and he's like straightening it back on. And I forget what funny thing he says, but I enjoyed that greatly. I'm like, yeah, I just get to play as Lego John Barrowman.
That's good. The wizard or Merlin. Yeah, Merlin.
Merlin, it's a first and last name. And what either the first name or the last name is Merlin. Yeah. It's like Melwin Merlin or Merlin something. Sassafras. I don't know. I think it's another M. Stanley didn't make him, so it's not guaranteed that it has the same initials. But
I don't really keep up on the Green Arrow stuff very much.
I meant to tell you this. The problem is there's no way I'm just going to tell it. But it's very much a you had to be there thing. So it's not going to be as good. I'm going to tell it.
Okay.
I was listening to a live episode, like that they did at a live show of my brother and me. And I forget why, but at a certain point, Griffin starts talking about the famous comic book character Bat Hero and his perennial nemesis, Clown, which he says specifically like that. He's like, you know, famous DC Comics Bat Hero and his evil super villain, Clown. And then for some reason, way later in the episode, I think because they were talking about a zoo or whatever, they're talking about penguins, but they referred to him as Angry Birdman. And so it became this whole thing. Bat Hero and his rogues gallery of Angry Birdman and Clown. And it just cracked me up. But yeah, it's not nearly as funny to retell as it was in the moment.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
And it was very off the cuff. You can tell whenever one of them says something and the other two crack up, you know that was not planned. Not that they plan a lot, but that was the thing. It wasn't when they said Bat Hero. I'm like, yeah, it was like, you know, and then that villain, Clown. I remember that guy. All right. If you'd like us to talk less about this kind of shit, write an email, themagicaltalkinghead@gmail.com, and use that power to determine what kind of shit we talk about. Some. We're still going to fuck around and do what we want. But also go to the blog, magicaltalkinghead.com. Tell us we talked about a lot of movies, a lot of TV shows today. Also get on there and tell William he needs to go see the Barbie movies. Because he's the last person in the world to have not seen the Barbie movie. And I want to talk to him about things about the Barbie movie, but I can't talk to him about because he hasn't seen the Barbie movie. And the Barbie movie is really good. So do it. And by that, I mean you, the listener, go to the blog or the YouTube comments and tell William. And also, I mean you, the William, go see the Barbie movie. All right. And then next week, which will just be a couple minutes for us, we will be back. So come back next week and listen again, because we're actually going to do an email then, probably. Clowns!
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.